20 milers, fitting them in with marathon training. There's just the apprehension of knowing that I have to run a 20 miler on a Saturday morning. Yep. And it can affect a lot of your social life and everything. So I was thinking avoiding those long runs, I was going to have a much easier time fitting in my training.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Run Thrive Survive, where we dive deep inside a runner's mind to understand their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, and everything that makes them run their lives so life doesn't run them. Today, we are talking to Julie Chamberlain, and she's been actually on the podcast before, and I'm telling you right now, she's an OG on the podcast, right? Back when we were talking about Boston in April of 21, when this podcast actually took off, I had a group of people and we all interviewed about Boston when it was in the middle of the pandemic, and she was one of them. That was her first time in the Boston, and now this is her second. So I'm super excited to have her on the podcast, but I want to make a quick announcement. So a lot of you have noticed I haven't been posting as recently as I usually do when it comes to podcasting, and I want to apologize. I really wanted to hit it off in the new year as hard as I could, but you know, life gets in the way, and there's, and I'm not saying like life gets in the way where I didn't prioritize this, but I'm telling you right now, there's been a lot going on in the background of everything of my own life outside of Instagram, outside of podcasting, and I didn't have like literally anywhere to record a podcast. I'm sharing a space with like a bunch of like four people. It's been a rough time. I've got two cats and a dog. It's been a zoo, and I've really tried my hardest, but it just wasn't working for a long time. And it's one of those things where things become so overwhelming, you have to take a step back. And I had to take a step back from this. I had to take a step back from a lot of different things. And I've talked to a few of you, a lot of you, you guys are so sweet and so understanding. So a lot of these podcasts were actually recorded in November, December of last year, which is super exciting. But I am pretty much introducing this new podcast as the new and improved Run Thrive Survive, because it's really going to be more of a therapy session for us runners. Yes, a therapy session. I want you to come here thinking you're going to learn and you're going to grow in your training. You are, but it's not going to be in the way where we're going to talk speed and tempos and how to do this and how to do that. Because like, honestly, you can pick up a book, you can talk to anybody, you can do everything about that. What you cannot get is mental health when it comes to running. That's a conversation I don't think anybody's really having. Like, yes, we're having it. We're like, oh, it's speak your truth, self-love, whatever. I don't really care about that stuff. Like, that's not mental health. That's actually, I think, making it worse. What's really mental health is actually giving ourselves the permission to just be like, and this race sucked. Everything in my life sucked at that time. And guess what? I'm pulling through and sharing our stories and maybe helping you pull through something that's also hard. And like I said, I think there's a lot that I've been going through, talking to a few of you going through a lot too. And I want to share that in a different episode. So I just wanted to let you know about that and why we've taken such a leap of absence. So now that we're past all that, let's get to Julie, because Julie was a self-proclaimed unathletic kid who received grades of requires more in gym class. Isn't that funny? That was a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us really hated running in gym class. I know I always skipped. And she said, but eventually she found the love of running and she's never looked back. And since then, she's qualified for Boston 3 times. All right. Last time she was on this podcast, she hadn't even run Boston. She's qualified 3 times and she's going to run the race for the second time in 2023. That's around the corner. I'm so excited for her. And when she's not running, you guys, she is an English literature professor in Chicago. You can actually find her at professor_runs_for_fun. She's super fun. She does a lot of gel reviews and I just love her. She feels like a close friend, even though I've only talked to her through Instagram and met her once in Chicago. So without further ado, I want to introduce Julie. Julie was on the podcast. Gosh, you were like one of my first guests back when we did the Boston Marathon reviews. So I'm super happy to have you back, because I feel like, you know, since I met you in Chicago, like we're like close friends now, runner friends.
And so much has happened since that first podcast.
I know. So and you were going on your second run for Boston in April.
Yep,
right?
This spring, June the second, gosh. Boston.
I'm so excited for you. That's such a good, like, amazing accomplishment. But today, so I really like what we're talking about today. We're talking about the Ooh La La Chocolate Half Marathon in Geneva, Illinois, that you just ran. Mm-hmm. And I really like something that you mentioned, that you thought training for a half marathon would be quote unquote easy, right? Because you've run a full, but now you train for this half. So I want to pick apart your mind. Let's dive inside your mind. What made you want to do this half marathon first off?
Yeah, so I've been focusing on the full marathon and running Boston for about 5 years now, and I really haven't focused on any other distances other than the full marathon. And so I was looking for a little bit of a break from marathon training, and I ended up not really getting that break as much as I thought it would be, but my hope was that I was going to be able to work on speed and bring the threshold down for my marathon pace going into this next Boston cycle.
So was that – okay, so officially – I talked to you a little bit ago. You wanted to qualify for New York. Mm-hmm. Is that – like, was that the driving factor behind the half marathon, or was it just to see, hey, I'll get my pace up. Oh, I can also qualify for New York.
Yeah, so I wanted to qualify for New York. I felt like that was an easier way to get right than the lottery. But then it was actually when we met up in Chicago that I learned that qualifying for New York is not a guaranteed entry. It's just an opportunity to wait in the old queue online, like you're trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. And
I was about to say, we all saw how that went for Taylor Swift.
And so my hopes for that kind of went on the back burner before I even got to the start line, because I knew that even if I did run the time I needed, I wouldn't necessarily be able to run New York with it.
Well, okay, let me ask you this question before we really dive into the race. Would you have qualified for New York? Did you get a time for New York?
No. So the spoiler alert is I got injured during my training. So I barely made it to the start line, and I had to reassess my goals.
When did you get injured? Because you were injured in Chicago.
Yeah, so that was kind of just at the start of it. So when we met up in Chicago, I was kind of like on the cusp of deciding, like, is this something that I need to stop and refocus on, or can I keep pushing through training? And I decided to keep going with my training, and it didn't really turn out as I hoped.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. Okay, we will really dive into this then. Okay, so I want to ask you the before and the after thought. So you thought it would be easy. What did you think would be easier about it?
Specifically, not having to do any long run.
That's nice.
20 milers, fitting them in with marathon training. There's just the apprehension of knowing that I have to run a 20 miler on a Saturday morning, and it can affect a lot of your social life and everything. So I was thinking avoiding those long runs, I was going to have a much easier time fitting in my training. But that was not necessarily the case, because a lot of the speed work was so intense that I was just as nervous and wiped out from even like doing a 15-mile speed workout.
How did you change the speed workouts from the half marathon to the full marathon? I'm curious how that looked for you.
So I work with a coach, and he did all of the training plans. So kind of at my most advanced with the marathons, a marathon workout for me would be kind of a 10-mile run during the week that would have some tempo work mixed in with it. And then a longer speed work, maybe like going up to 20 miles. And then I would have like a certain number of marathon pace miles within that longer run. This time I had a lot more like closer to VO2 max type of running workouts. So I was going much faster than I was used to. And I was supposed to be trying to increase that so that I could do more like tempo work at that faster pace. And I didn't quite really get there to where I was like able to do those workouts.
Is that when you got injured or was it just time in life?
So I actually think that there was a specific reason why I got injured, and I was trying to correct a structural imbalance that I have. So one of my legs is just slightly longer than the other, and I've been dealing with these calf cramps throughout my marathons, and I just really wanted to try something to correct the imbalance. And so I used this heel insert that I placed in my right shoe, and I just kind of jumped back into training with that little heel insert in my shoe. And I thought that it was not going to be a big deal, that it was going to maybe just be this little adjustment, but it felt so different running. I felt a little bit unstable. And I was also running like 40 some miles a week and doing these really hard speed workouts. So that was like the week before Chicago, which I didn't run in case others are confused, but
right.
So I kind of knew after I had tried this for 1 week that things like were feeling off, especially with my hamstring. And so I tried it for 2 weeks, hoping that maybe it was just that things will get worse before it got better. And my hamstring just could not recover from it. And now it's been a few months. So this was September. And I'm still like trying to rehab my hamstring from this.
Oh my, well, are you running? Mm-hmm. You're running though. Yeah. I was going to say, so it's not, it hasn't wiped you out of running. Yeah, it's just something that you have to rehab. Okay. Oh man. Okay. So you're at the start line of the Chocolate Ooh La La. What do you do particularly prior to a race? Like I'm really big in like the pre-race routines where, you know, you have to have a routine down. Your body has to know how to react to get ready for the race. What is it specifically? Like, what's your routine look like? What do you do?
So I lay out my outfit the night before, for sure. I set everything up because I'm not the best problem solver when I'm up early in the morning. So I like have to prepare everything the night before so that I can really just like be a zombie pulling on my shoes in the morning. I can't like think through what I'm going to wear.
That's why we run in the mornings. We have to run before our brain wakes up because then it wouldn't make sense why we do this, right?
Yeah. So I woke up, I think, I'm trying to remember when the race started. I think it was like 7 a.m. So, and I had about like a 45-minute drive. So this wasn't a destination race, but
that's nice.
I did have to drive there in the morning. So I woke up, like had some espresso, and then got ready, jumped in the car, and I got there in time to basically do a very short warm up and visit the porta potties twice. I always visit them.
That's always important, though. That's always important.
It doesn't matter how much time there is. Like I could have 15 minutes only and need to get my start corral. I will just like I just need to try twice.
Yeah.
Or else like I'll be thinking about it the entire run. And so I did my warm up. I visited the porta potties and then I got in my start corral. Not that there were corrals, it was a small race.
The start line. We're so used to it though. We're like, okay, what corral are you? And you have to like, oh God, those corrals though.
Yeah. I've been used to like the bigger races for these marathons recently. And so it was a little bit, it was different to see how kind of relaxed a lot of people were because this was more of kind of a fun gimmicky run than it was like a lot of like really serious racers. But I did see people, at least one person that I recognized from Instagram at the start line. I was like, wow, what are the chances? Probably pretty good because it's Chicago area running.
This is true. Yeah, there's a lot of runners in Chicago. I mean, like, to be honest with you, from Illinois, I've probably interviewed 4 people from Chicago area in the last week.
Yeah, it's a pretty
big area. So everyone listening to this, it's not a biased thing. It's just that's where everybody is. Okay, so hold on, back up. I was going to ask you a key thing. It's 9:58. Okay, so you got there. How is your hamstring feeling? Because this, I think this is where the biggest this is where we're going to get into like the biggest like mind games, right? Because you know that you're not feeling good. You're not, well, not feeling good, but you're semi injured, not fully injured, but you're like, oh, should I be doing this? You almost didn't go through with it. How are you feeling at that start line? What was your plan for this race?
So I knew I was going to start out conservative. I wasn't going to start out at the pace I would need in order to qualify for New York, which would have been an hour 32. I wasn't going to go out at that pace because I didn't want to risk not finishing. And I was like, I'm just going to completely run it by feel, like not even look at my watch. And
oh, good. Effort. Yeah, I like that.
How it goes, because there's really no stakes to the time goal. Like, again, even if I did qualify for New York, I wasn't necessarily going to be able to register for the race with that time. So I was like, there's no pressure on any time goal. I'd love to PR, but I felt like that was not guaranteed. And I'd rather go for my secondary goal, which is just to finish the race and have chocolate afterwards.
Okay, so there's hot chocolate at the end. Oh my gosh. Okay, so how were the miles mentally throughout the race? So you started strong. How did you feel through it? Was there any time you're like, okay, I don't know if we're going to finish this, or did you feel strong throughout? Did you surprise yourself?
Yeah. So my hamstring actually didn't feel nearly as bad as it could have during the race, which I took the whole week off leading up to the half on kind of a risky move. Oh, wow. I normally wouldn't do that during a taper, but I was like, just Hail Mary. Let's see if I can feel like pressure going into this. So I hadn't run except for like a 3 mile shakeout until I like got to that start line. And I started out and the beginning was downhill pretty significantly. And so I was thinking like, am I going to be coming back up this in the last mile?
That's going to suck if you are.
But so the first mile kind of goes through this like suburban town and then it goes off onto a trail.
And, ooh, okay. So it's like a semi-trail race.
Yeah, but the trail is paved. So it wasn't like a gravel trail. It was a concrete trail, but it went like along a river, which is really beautiful. It had, so this was the same weekend as the Indianapolis Marathon and New York. So there was some really strange weather going on. And so there had been like a really severe storm the day before. And so there was all these sticks and leaves and debris on the trail. So it was a lot more technical than I thought it was going to be. And I'm actually really glad that I wasn't like feeling that I'm ready to get my New York qualifier and PR, because I think I would have been sorely disappointed by just how much technical stuff there was littered on the trail. Right. And I wouldn't have like really been able to run my hardest. So it was good that I was just kind of going with attitude like, oh, there's sticks, there's leaves, I don't care. I'm just going to enjoy the view.
Yeah, no, it's just, I think the races that you don't put a lot of pressure on yourself, they're the ones that I personally think are the best ones. But, you know, like I'm also like a semi-competitive person. And I say semi as in I'm fully competitive, but I try not to because it's so stressful that my body can't handle it sometimes. And we're all there. So, okay. So going through this race, how'd you feel afterwards? And what are you doing to rehab your hamstring now?
So I finished the race. The first half went pretty well. I was sticking with the 140 pacer. I just kind of like settled in like around him and I was like, I'll just stay with him so I don't have to look at my watch. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, I really started to feel it more in my hip and my hamstring. And I was like, I'm just going to let myself slow down. So right.
That's all you can do.
It was definitely not like the best that I felt by like a long shot in the half marathon. And then hitting the last mile was like straight uphill. And so the last mile was like, oh, I'm so done with this.
So you did have to go back up that hill.
Yeah. The last mile was pretty hilly, one stupid hill. And so finished. I ended up winning my age group, which was kind of unexpected. And they had physical therapists there like at the end. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like go and get a massage after this. And take advantage of this free thing that they have paid for this half. So I might as well get something out of it. So I did that. And then since then, I've been trying to build back up slowly. So I haven't been running more than 30 miles in a week. And I made the decision not to just do complete rest, but to try and incorporate more strength work instead. Because I was just not really convinced, and neither was like the physical therapist that I was seeing, that just rest was going to fix it. So I've been doing strength work instead and trying to focus on that in the off season.
Yeah, no, strength work is so important. And I think, like, you know, I think as runners, like, everyone's starting to get that hint. But I know there's still quite a few coaches out there that go against it. I mean, I was even like, when I first like ran a marathon, they were like, don't do any strength work. And I was like, so I'm just going to go do this on my own and stay hush hush about it, because like, I wasn't going to not do it. I felt so much better doing it. So I'm glad you're doing that. That is like the bread and butter to running. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wait, hold on. You're doing something this week. You're doing the Dopey Challenge?
Yeah. So it's with an online group called Run With Aim, and it's a virtual Dopey Challenge, which you could sign up for different distance levels. The one I did was supposed to be a 5K, 10K, and then a half marathon.
Love it.
Unfortunately, I did my 5K and my 10K. There was like a severe storm warning yesterday, and I fit in my 10K like in the eye of the storm. It ended up being really perfect, but then it did not turn out okay for my half marathon, which I was intending to do this morning. So I decided to go with my safety instead of the half marathon. So I'm sad not to finish the challenge, but it is what it is. I'll probably do a long run tomorrow instead.
Yeah. Listen to us runners. We're like, yeah, I guess we'll just do another long run tomorrow. It's like people like train so long for these, and we're like, oh, well, you know, here we are. So let me ask you this. What's next then after all of this? So like, once you finish this challenge, do you have any races in the queue? Like, are you eyeing any races in 2023? Like, what's going on?
So I'm thinking about doing this thing that's really out of my comfort zone. I've not committed to it yet at all. But so there is this, it's an indoor track meet in Chicago, anyone can sign up for it. You don't have to be like an elite runner to do it. And the races are, I believe there's definitely the main event is the mile. Women's open mile race on indoor track. And so short distance is not really my forte.
Neither am I.
Marathoner. But I've always wanted to break 6 in the mile. And I just need the impetus to actually go for it. So I'm thinking about signing up for this track meet, but I also don't know if I'm going to be able to really do the training needed to get my mile time down in the next few weeks here.
Wait, when is the track?
January 7th.
Oh gosh. It's like right around the corner. Okay. So that's like right. I was thinking like, it's like March or April. I'm like, you'll have time. Okay. That is right around the corner. Rehabbing yourself is way more important before you get back to that and pull. Cause like, I feel like the times that I've done fast things like that, I've always pulled something or injured something. But like, you can give me like 50 miles a week and I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like everything's good. But it's like, oh, I do that one quick run. And something hurts. Yeah.
And it's scary. Like I could be in last place.
But you know what? You tried. That's the fun of it, right?
That attracts like sub elite runners. And I mean, I'm not at that level, but yeah, it would be fun to like try and compete with some people who actually are really good milers.
Absolutely. I love that. That would be so much fun. You gotta let me know if you do that. So, all right. So one final question for you. What would be your biggest, I guess, like tidbit tip to people that are looking into running? Like, how would you tell them to get into running? Like, how did you get into running?
So funny you should ask. I am the vice president of a running club in the Chicago suburbs, and trying to always recruit new members. And I know from that running can be really intimidating, especially when a lot of people who are already in these run clubs are marathoners. Mm-hmm. People think of them as being really fast. I think the important thing is that you don't need to be fast and you don't need to be running far in order to get a lot out of running. Those are things that you could build up to if they are a goal, but really getting out there and running a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles at whatever pace you are capable of can be really enjoyable, and you can meet a lot of great people doing it, or just, you know, have time to yourself in your head if you're not the sort of person that enjoys running with others. If you're interested in getting into it, first of all, I would absolutely recommend joining a run club and give you a social outlet for running, and also give you the support you need to figure things out like fueling and pacing if you have no experience with that. But if you're on your own, just going out and doing 1 mile, finding a new place like a trail nearby that is enjoyable, can really be all you need to get started.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's such a good tip. It's really true. I like that you mentioned, though, some people like to just be in their head. I used to be that runner. I was like, please don't talk to me while I'm running. Like, why would people talk to me during a marathon? I'm like, what is this? But now it's like, I'm more social now that I'm like more trained. I can actually breathe. It's okay, guys. We can have a conversation. All right, Julie. Okay, one last question. And because we're in the new year, what is it that you want to accomplish this upcoming year by December 31st?
Ooh, by December 31st. So I have my goal for the spring already cut out for me. I'm going to be running Boston again, and I would like to try to BQ at Boston.
At Boston. Get through Heartbreak Hill.
It's going to be weather dependent and hamstring rehab dependent. So we'll see how that goes. In the fall, I haven't decided what my goal might be. I either might be trying to do a fast half again, or I'm thinking about maybe doing a 50 miler. So,
oh my gosh. Okay. So you got the bug. I love it.
Try again for the half marathon, or go the other direction and try an ultra.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. That so different, but so good. I love that. So, okay. Would it be like a trail ultra? I guess there's not many like on the road.
It was Tunnel Hill, which I don't think is super, it's in Illinois, and I don't think it's super technical. Don't quote me on this. I mean, you can record me saying this, but I don't know if this is true. I think the world record maybe for the women's was set there at one point. I don't know. It's a faster ultra.
Ultras. Gosh, I don't know too much about ultras. I was going to say, you could do, I think it's like the Moab, is it like Moab 50 or ultra marathon? That's like one of the harder ones somebody was telling me about the other day. Yeah, I was like, it's like 9,000 feet gain. It's like 9,000 feet gain. Like, what is your body doing?
In Chicago, there are not many hills to train on. I want to be doing that much elevation training on the treadmill. So I'm going to go for a slightly flatter ultra if I do it.
Do it. I would do it. I wouldn't do a hilly ultra. Are you kidding me? I love it. That's awesome. Well, Julie, I wish you the best in 2023. And like, I can't wait to keep up with all your runs, and I'm going to check back in with you.
Ah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys, that's all I have for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's helping you solve those everyday little problems. And I also hope it's challenging you and helping you become mentally, physically, and emotionally stronger, just like we want to do here on the Run, Thrive, Survive podcast. Please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to that podcast, and leave that review if you're listening to it on Apple. I want to hear from you. And if you'd like to support the podcast, please make sure you check out the show notes, podinbox.com/runthrivesurvive. You can do two things there. You can record a voice message that you can ask me a question. I can respond to you if you need help in something. I can also play it here on real time on the podcast during Q&A podcast. So that's super exciting. You can also, if you'd like to donate and support the podcast, you can leave the donation at that pod in box link. So you guys, I appreciate you. As always, I hope you get out there and you run your life and do not let life run you. Bye, guys.